Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Minneapolis is our CEO, Jerry Zak. Jerry's here to talk about a new document he helped create that's available on the COSO website entitled Compliance Risk Management, Applying the COSO ERM Framework. Jerry, thanks for taking the time to talk to us and explore this document.
Thanks, Adam. It's my pleasure.
Now, compliance programs already have a framework in the federal sentencing guidelines and similar direction globally. Why is this necessary? Is something I'm sure many people are wondering.
Well, it's interesting because I think it fills a void because on one hand, there's guidance on compliance and ethics programs, of course, you know, starting with the federal sentencing guidelines and so many additional bits of guidance in connection with that. And there's also separately guidance on enterprise risk management. There's the COSO model, the Committee of Sponsoring Organizations has their framework, and then there's the ISO model. But until now, there really hasn't been a translation between these two very distinct professions. Yet there's an expectation and certainly a pretty significant benefit from aligning these two in order to achieve greater efficiencies and avoiding the silo approach that we often see and all complain about. Let's face it, for a compliance and ethics program to be effective, it requires that compliance officers work with other functions and business units within the organization. But if the risk management folks are doing things one way while the management of compliance risk is done in a completely different manner, there's just a huge potential for problems.
Yeah, and obviously we really need these two different disciplines to work so closely together given the alignment. Now, is this document designed so that compliance officers can better assess risk, or is it for risk officers and management to better understand compliance risk?
Well, it's really aimed at both audiences, as well as actually even others like senior management and the board of directors. But in terms of addressing both compliance professionals as well as risk professionals, it really is aimed at both. Oftentimes, you see that risk professionals understand principles of risk management very well, but they oftentimes don't understand why some of those techniques don't work with compliance and what some of the complexities are with compliance and ethics. Similarly, compliance people run the risk of working in a silo and managing compliance risk in a very different manner than how the organization is managing all of its other risks. So not only is this inefficient, but it increases the possibility that relationships and interdependencies between compliance risks and other types of risks aren't identified. Oftentimes, efforts to mitigate, one type of risk can increase risk in another area, such as compliance, if you're doing these things sort of in a vacuum or in a silo approach.
And once again, silos don't work very well when it comes to compliance. Now, there's a lot of, we talked about guidances out there. There's the federal sentencing guidelines, there's some specific direction for compliance in various laws and government body, the ISO framework, other guidances out there. Where should this fit in?
Well, I think it serves as, and I keep coming back to the silo thing, so it serves as a bit of a silo busting mechanism, if you will, to better align risk and compliance. It takes most of the best practices for effective compliance and ethics programs and merges or aligns those characteristics with the structure and the framework that risk professionals utilize in the COSO model. We had an added challenge in this particular case of keeping this publication rather short. COSO didn't want a lengthy publication on this. But in the end, we identified about 120 characteristics of effective compliance and ethics programs, and we matched each one up. And in some cases, it aligned with multiple ERM components, but we matched each of those 120 characteristics up with the five components and 20 underlying principles of enterprise risk management. So in the end, I'm sure you could, we came up with 120, the list could go on and on and on, but we were challenged with this directive, if you will, to keep it short, keep it concise, keep it short and sweet so that people could really get the gist of what we were after here, which was this alignment.
And reading through the document, One of the things that I very much like about it is that it takes compliance to a different place. You know, it's not a way to just reduce fines and penalties, but it's really, as I read it, it talks about compliance really as good management. Was that part of the intent too?
It absolutely was. It's great that you observed that as you read through it. Kind of going back to what I mentioned about alignment of or a translation between risk and compliance, I've answered so many questions over the years about the potential conflicts or differences between risk and compliance, since they each have a body of knowledge of their own. Two real quick examples, because they're fairly recent. I can recall one instance where a compliance person couldn't understand the whole idea of risk appetite. He was hearing about risk appetite from the risk management folks and mistakenly thinking that that implied some sort of acceptance of compliance failures. And he couldn't stand it when his risk office, you know, officer discussed appetite in the context of compliance, because he just didn't understand what this means to a risk professional. Similarly, I recently had a little minor online tiff with a risk professional who objected to this new publication. He thought that everything in this new publication that didn't revolve around a highly quantitative approach to just doing risk assessments, anything else was fluff. He couldn't get his head around the importance of culture, training, communications, and all these other things that go into a compliance and ethics program. To him, it was all about just doing a very formulaic approach to risk assessment. He basically wanted to manage, you know, compliance risk the same way that you might manage interest rate fluctuation risk, you know, which is a very mathematical kind of a formula that you can apply that strict, you know, regimen to. So in a way, this publication kind of goes back to that, you know, aspect of a language translation, as well as an alignment of principles between the two professions.
I kind of like thinking of this as something of the Rosetta Stone for risk and compliance people to understand each other. In some ways, I can see this document serving as a good double check for compliance professionals and to serve as a self-assessment tool on the strategic level. Would it work that way too?
Absolutely. You know, the link to strategy was actually a very important part of our work in this. The 2017 revision to the COSO ERM framework really emphasized this connection between strategy and the management of risk, all types of risk, not just compliance, but other risks as well. So this publication is not merely a field manual for compliance or risk professionals. It's designed to provide useful guidance for senior managers and the board of directors. Putting this compliance function in perspective as it relates to the managing risk and creating and preserving value for the organization. An important element of strategy is this creation and preservation of value. And that's one of the things that I like about the ERM model and that compliance folks will see in this publication.
Now, is there anything else that compliance professionals should be looking for or thinking about as they read through this?
Compliance professionals can learn from the guidance that risk professionals follow, and then obviously vice versa. Risk professionals can learn a lot more about compliance and ethics programs, from this publication. But for compliance professionals, there is this recurring theme of strategy and preservation of value. And I think that sometimes compliance professionals can lose sight of this. And I think it's even worse than that. I think sometimes we are our own worst enemy when it comes to requesting resources and defending our work's value. We often succumb to that assertion that the compliance function is nothing more than a cost center, and we're not good at defending that sometimes. Whereas the ERM framework actually articulates the management of risk in this context of strategy and organizational value, both creating and preserving it. So I think the compliance professionals will pick up on that and can focus better on how compliance and ethics programs can contribute to that value.
Well, there's obviously a lot here and a lot for compliance people to absorb. And for those of you who are interested in more, there's several opportunities for you to do so. If you're interested in the document, you can download Compliance Risk Management, Applying the COSO ERM Framework straight from the COSO site at COSO.org. There's also will be a link to it right here on the Compliance and Ethics blog. And then for those who would like to dive in even deeper, the SCCE has two upcoming workshops, one on December 18th, 2020, and another on January 21st, 2021. And to find out more information about those, just come to corporatecompliance.org and take a look under the events section. It should be under virtual conferences. Well, Jerry, thank you again for sharing your time with us and your insights and for the work you put into this document. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.